to the Free Bid League podcast. I'm Matt, joined by Tyler. And in this episode, we have another special guest, former Dayton Flyer Jeremiah Bonsu, who is currently the co-GM of the Red Scare Dayton Flyer alumni TBT team. And in this episode, we'll be covering the Columbus Regional that will take place from July 19th through the 21st.
Yeah, this was supposed to just be our Columbus TBT preview episode, but it turned into so much more. And we just want to thank Jeremiah before we even dive into the interview. It's really a great one, if I have to say so myself. One of the best episodes that we have had so far on the Three Bid League podcast. This guy is a heck of a storyteller.
Yeah, this was a fantastic interview. We got a lot of great stories from his days playing for Archie Miller at Dayton. And it just sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun here in Columbus for these games. It's a fun group of players on this Dayton team. We're excited to see them. And just first, before we get into the interview, a little bit of background. TBT is called the basketball tournament, so super creative there. But it is kind of like March Madness. It's a 64-team, winner-take-all, just tournament, single elimination. And it has a grand prize of $2 million. So you get all sorts of former college stars coming together for this summer tournament. There's no NBA players in it. And it's still pretty high-level basketball, especially this time of year now that we don't have the NBA going on. And I believe this is the fifth or sixth year they've been doing this. It's Dayton's first time in it, too, so I'm excited for that. And it should be a fun couple of weeks.
Yeah, and there are four A-10 teams represented. Today we'll be focusing on Dayton in the Columbus Regional. And then next week we will have a new episode that focuses on the Richmond Regional, which will be played at VCU's own Segal Center. The Rams will have their own alumni team, as will George Mason and Richmond, with those two actually facing off head-to-head in the first round.
So it's not quite the same selection process as the NCAA tournament, but I do think we need to point that out. The A-10 is a four-bid league in something. It's not the tournament that we wanted, but still not bad, and it's good to see the A-10 get a little bit of representation. Hopefully somebody can make a run, although it will be difficult because George Mason and Richmond will play each other in the first round. So on one hand, that's kind of good because I guess somebody in the A-10's going to win a game for sure, but one of them's also guaranteed to be sent packing very early.
Yeah, all four teams hoping to be the $2 million champions, but this year a slight change to the rules. There will actually be a prize given out to each team that wins their regional. It'll be a percentage of the ticket sales. Right now, Columbus with the third largest prize pool, $7,582 at the time of the recording of this pod, will go to the winning team for that regional. The fourth biggest being Richmond, a shade under $2,500 will go to that winner.
Yeah, one thing's for sure, we should get a good turnout of A-10 fans at these games. Columbus, only about an hour, hour and a half from Dayton, and then it's a home game for VCU. Richmond's in the same city. I don't know if George Mason's going to show up, but I'm sure some of them will. So hopefully some fans get to see some good basketball here. It's a close drive for most of them. And a good opportunity to see some former great players at these colleges.
Yeah, Dayton will start off on Friday, July 21st, a 3 p.m. game that can be seen on ESPN3. As we talk about with Jeremiah, they take on the Region, which is a team made up mostly of guys who grew up throughout the great basketball state of Indiana. If they win that, they'll move on to the weekend, where the semifinal and eventually the final game will be broadcast on regular ESPN. So a chance for an A-10 team to get a channel higher than they typically do during the regular season. And if Dayton can get out of the first round, some very interesting games await, potentially taking on the Wisconsin alumni on Saturday. And then if they can get to the regional final, a good shot that they'll play Ohio State.
And that's got to be the most highly anticipated game of that bracket, at least in my eyes. For those that don't know, Dayton beat Ohio State by 1 point in the 2014 NCAA tournament in the first round. V. Sanford, who is on the Dayton team, by the way, hit the game-winning shot with under 5 seconds to go. That would be a great matchup. He also has the chance to go up against Aaron Kraft, who will be in Columbus for this tournament. So hopefully Dayton can make it that far. They would have to win two games first. So it's a tough road ahead, but if they do make it, that should be one of the most exciting games of the tournament.
Yeah, and we will be there. Possibly some live podcasts coming from Capital University that weekend. We're really excited. All the A10 fans should be excited. The Dayton fans should be especially excited. And come on, guys, it's been months since the season ended. I know you're not all just going to Dragons games every night. This is the best sporting event that the city of Dayton's going to see this summer. Only an hour away. We know you guys want to come, and you're just waiting for that last final push to get you there. So we encourage all the UD fans to show up on July 21st.
All right, so with that, I think we'll go ahead and get into our interview with Jeremiah Bonsu. As we said, this interview was a lot of fun, also had a lot of good insight on what we will see here in Columbus. So just sit back and relax. It was a fun interview, and thanks again to Jeremiah for taking the time to speak with us.
So we are here now with probably the most, I was going to say most beloved walk-on, but maybe even the most beloved player of the last 5 years at UD, Jeremiah Bonsu, the GM of the Red Scare TBT team. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for that great intro. I'll say this, I'm definitely number two in terms of most beloved, because we Scooch is first, but I think I'm second. I take second.
Well, it's tough to live up to Scoochie, but hey, we have to shout you out, though. You're actually the first player to come on the Three Big League podcast, so have to give you a lot of credit for that.
Appreciate that. I appreciate that. I love all that the stuff that people have on the internet. You know, for me, I was a fan. You know, I was a fan my freshman year, so everything that I can do and explain to people, I'm like, this is great. I love it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and you for anyone who doesn't know you, you put a great piece out on the Players Tribune years ago talking about your battle to become a walk-on onto the UD team. You didn't get on until your sophomore year. You and your good friend Joey Gruden, and now you guys are the co-GMs of probably the best collection of Dayton alumni we've ever seen on a basketball team together.
Yeah, it's me and Joey do everything together, so it's only right that we do this together. He's actually the one who convinced me to do it, so props to him on that one.
Yeah, so I guess we'll just start off with you have now moved along from your college days. You're working in the NBA, spent last season working for the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah, I actually just started this week at the University of Arkansas.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Appreciate it.
So I guess you and Joey are both in the college ranks now, but in different conferences. So our first question was actually going to be, you guys were two peas in a pod, best friends on campus. Everyone knew that you guys were going to be together. So we were just going to ask if you were still keeping in great touch together, but it seems like you are.
We talk every day, every single day. You know, that's my guy for life. Cause just the way we like started as friends was crazy. Cause we were just like going to the rec. And we never played with each other until the end of our freshman year. And right after we played, we were like, wait a minute. Like, we're pretty good together. And I'll say this, and people can challenge it all they want. We didn't lose our sophomore year at the rec.
Yeah, so we came in.
Come up to me and tell me, like, you guys, like, we miss you guys at the rec. And I'm like, no, you don't, because, you know, it was a wrap when you saw us walk in.
So we showed up as freshmen during your junior year, and around our freshman year floor, you guys were known as really the guys everybody wanted to play because you were on the team, but you were always down there. And so we'd have friends come up like, yeah, Joey and Jeremiah were down there. We got to play against them. We were up late, lost 12-10. And so you guys had a bigger target on your back than probably anyone down there.
And the thing is, that's what we loved. Like, we would walk in and we would go, we would look for the three worst guys. And we're coming out of practice. We're not supposed to do, actually, I can say it now. We were never supposed to be there because, like, if we got hurt, you know, like, it didn't matter as much because we weren't going to ever possibly play like we possibly could sophomore year. But, like, we were needed in practice. And I remember one time Joey sprained his ankle at the rec. And it's senior year. And he shows up to practice the next day, and he's limping so bad. And every time the trainer comes around, he's like, no one say anything. And he's just in so much pain. But we love going to the rec because, one, you know, we didn't get to play. So to us, it was like, all right, let's go stay in shape, you know, and go play. And it was a lot of fun. I met a lot of people there. A lot of people I still talk to, actually, just kind of came from the rec.
I mean, I completely get it. I love the UD rec, one of the greatest places on earth. And I've made plenty of friends there, too. So, and honestly, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that you guys aren't supposed to be down there, because I saw a few guys second semester, really picked up a few things scouting wise, probably good to continue to keep them to myself. Don't want to let Coach Grant know who all was hanging around in late April.
One time, Arch had junior spring, he had one of the GAs come chase the team out of the rec. Literally, like, so we get a text from one of our managers, like, hey, the one of our GAs, he's like, he's coming down to the rec. And you just see everyone scatter except me and Joey. We're like, if they catch us in the rec, what happens? Ooh, we might not play. So it's fun.
Earlier this year, we actually had two higher profile guys on the team. I'll keep their identity secret right now. That came down for some runs on a Monday night. And there was honestly a crowd of like 70 to 80 people lined up on like the ramp watching them play. And I'm amazed that I didn't see anything on social media afterwards.
That's what people don't understand. And I can say it again, I'm spilling all the beans. I probably shouldn't, but UD students are real. They keep things, if they see something, it's like, I didn't see it. They just kind of go like, I didn't see this. You know, like, and I appreciate that. Because I'm sure I've done dumb things while I was on the team that people could have easily just been like, oh, yeah, let me record that. And I've seen dumb things done by other athletes, and it's like no one ever says anything. I appreciate that. The thing about that, so my freshman year, after they went to the Elite Eight, the whole team came and played at the rec one time. And this is actually the first time me and Scooch, like he remembered me the next year when I was a manager. Because he was like, you were that guy at the rec going really hard for no reason. But everyone was watching. And so I was thinking, like, I can't get crossed up right here. Like, so I did go extremely hard for a reason. It was just because I didn't want to get embarrassed because everyone's watching. And I was just some guy who lived in Stewart at that time. Shout out Stewart Hall.
Hey, we're both Stewart guys. So, yeah, we got to shout that out. Yeah, I also just want to add, too, you guys, you mentioned that you and Joey, I mean, since – you know, as walk-ons, you didn't play, so what are they going to do if they catch you playing at the rec? I just remember, so both Costas and Obi had redshirt seasons, and the years that they had to sit out, they were at the rec all the time, and just, like, being on the court with them or watching them play pickup games, it's kind of just surreal to see them up close, just doing crazy things around the rim. I mean, they both could just get up, do things that no one else in that building could do. So it was always fun to see those guys play down there.
I wish Obi would have been with our team. I honestly do. I really wish he had been, because him and lineup of him, Scooch, Cook, Kyle, Kendall. Oh man. Ooh, we would have been even better.
Yeah, we're just happy he's coming back next year, because one season wasn't enough. We got to keep him around a little bit.
I think they can go undefeated in conference next year. I don't see a reason why they shouldn't. Maybe that's too much pressure. I don't know, but they got a really great team. Jalen is – he's ridiculous. He's so underrated, actually. You don't know how good Jalen is. He's really good. To be a guy who started from his freshman year, that's ridiculous. You know, Scooch didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's like – he's really good. I love that guy. And obviously Ryan, Chip. You know, they call him Black Man, all that stuff, Chip.
Yeah.
That was our first game ever as UD students, was the Mixel's Chips game, his freshman debut.
Love Ryan. You know what's crazy? That was the worst thing that ever happened to him. Like we talk about that sometimes. I'll be like, that's the worst thing that ever happened to him, was having such a great game. Good game, because then everyone's like, oh, he's gonna do this all the time, and it's like, well, come on, guys. Like he was 18. He was so skinny then. Like he's still skinny now. But he's a funny guy. And him and me and Joey used to beat up on him and X 2-on-2. I'll let – if you see him on campus, just be like, what happened last time you played Love and Bonds and Joey on 2-on-2? He'll deny it. You know what happened.
Well, I think I'm obligated to ask because it's one of Matt's favorite jokes. How many times did Zerius hit the side of the backboard shooting corner threes when he played against you?
He saved all those for Wichita.
Well, hey, for the most part, I mean, he made them when it counted. He beat Rhode Island, so.
You know what's crazy? So, he just became a great shooter out of nowhere.
Yeah. No one,
I mean, like, we see him every day in practice, and all of a sudden, like, something happened, and we had a practice, and he hit, like, 8 threes, and everyone's kind of like, what? And then, like, he starts doing it in the games, and you're still going, like,
yeah.
I don't even see you in the gym ever. Like, so it's – did you guys hear that? That was my phone. These coaches are
– Oh, that's all good.
They don't play. It's fine. We don't edit much out of the pod, so we'll just leave that in, and everyone can find out what your ringtone is.
You need to make sure they don't keep texting.
One of our other big questions that we wanted to know, and you led us right into this. So how often you still go into the pickup courts?
None. I honestly don't. I mean, I played – when I was in Dallas, we used to play on game days. Like the coaches and all of us. So I would reluctantly play, but I don't really play that much. You know what it is? It's not as fun without Joe. And it's also not as fun because I have to be like a professional now and I can't act like how I used to act at Dayton Rec, where a lot of people really didn't like me from how I talked a lot of trash for no reason too. No reason at all.
So what you're saying is you didn't hit a three in Rick Carlisle's face last year and then run down the court yelling how he's not as good as you.
Oh, gosh, I would never. Shout out, Rick. I would never. He's actually a really, really great guy. He helped me get this job that I have now. But he wouldn't play, but it was more of the younger coaches. We did have one of our player development coaches, and, man, like, you don't lose your shot. That's one thing I learned. He's, like, 45. And he was just whooping our butts. So shout out those NBA player development coaches. They can still hoop.
So what will you be doing at Arkansas? I assume you're in some sort of like assistant or player development role.
Yeah. So I'm doing a grad assistant here, but it's a little different because we have quite a bit. So it's just kind of like everyone gets a very specific role. I'm going to try to just learn as much as I can. Coach Musselman is, he's an NCAA tournament coach, and this is SEC. So, in college is where I want to be. So that was like, it was a no-brainer to come here.
Yeah, I almost forgot that Musselman took the Arkansas job. I'm sure that'll be, at the very least, interesting. Probably be a few things that happen in the locker room you won't be able to repeat publicly. I mean, we all know he's a fiery guy.
I played for Archie Miller.
Yeah, sure. It's nothing you're not used to, right?
there's nothing I'm not used to. I play for Archie Miller. I think he's probably as intense as anyone in the country.
Yeah, so with that, Archie Miller leading us into the Big Ten. And the Big Ten, Ohio State and Wisconsin, two potential opponents for you in the TBT. So as we explained earlier, big 64 team tournament, plenty of school alumni teams. And the biggest question, just how did you end up in the spot where you're co-GMing this team with Joey Gruden?
So it really started my senior year of college, my senior year, not Joey's fake senior year. The guy, Dan Friel, contacted me and he was like, hey, like, would you be interested in putting a team together? And I was just like, I kind of like entertained it for a little bit, but I was looking for a job. So I was like, no, I don't have time for it. And then he came back the next year. He was like, would you be interested? And I was like, no, because, I'm fully into, I was at Bowling Green as a GA. And I just was really looking to go to the NBA. So I was like, I'm not going to have time to do this. And then this year, he didn't even ask me. He went right to Joe. And so I get a text from Joe and Joe's like, yo, let's do this. And I'm like, Joey, I don't really want to do it. Like, it's a lot of work. Like, I'm going to be trying to get another job. You have work. And Joey was like, no, it's going to be fun. Like, we're doing it. So he told the guy we were doing it. And like most things in my life, Joey ends up making a decision. and we were doing it. So that's how we got started with this.
So then what was it like for you guys getting the team together? I mean, of course, most of the guys on the team you were teammates with. So was it easy to get these guys all on board to join together and just try to enter into this tournament? And also, I know you have to get accepted into it too. So is that a sort of difficult process for you guys?
Well, so the first question, getting guys play, Kyle Davis is the easiest. Not Kyle texted, "Hey, Kyle, we're doing this." And he said, "Anytime you want me to play basketball, I'm there." So he was in. Kendall Pollard was actually the star. Kendall was the easiest because he had already mentioned it to Joey in a prior conversation before he even knew we were doing it. So those two were in. And then our next thing was we were like, if we can get Devin, we'll get V. We'll get Deshaun. We'll get some of the older guys as well because Devin, he has that connection to all of them. Kevin Dillard, I was shocked. I wanted him. I was like, he's been playing, he's been doing well overseas. And he did it. And then outside of that, Daryl, Josh, I was just like, hey man, what are you doing on July 19th? they were like, oh yeah, we're in. It really was tough because you had Brian Roberts he's got a family, and he let us know right away. He's like, oh, I can't do it. And then Chris Wright and Chris Johnson, they both, Chris Wright's been doing so many great things in the Dayton area. I was like, I'm not even going to bother him after he said he'll let me know. I was like, that's his polite way of saying he can't do it this year. And then with Cook, he was going to summer league. So it was tough for him to kind of find that time. And then Scooch needed time off. He played G League and then over in Greece, 10 of the year. But we love it because we have a small team, which is kind of just like how Dayton always is. And we also have less players, so everyone's got to be ready to play. And then the acceptance process is actually really easy. We have great fans, so it was like we were the first team accepted, in terms of at large. Because within a month of us announcing, we had all these Twitter support, all this Twitter support, Instagram support, all that stuff. And they knew that was going to be really easy to do. Dayton fans, say Dayton in basketball, and they'll be there.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm just glad you bring that up too. I mean, it does feel like a regular Dayton team, both with the small lineup, and a shorter bench, because you guys took that sort of team to the second round. I guess, both you and Joey were on that team. And it doesn't feel like much change in that standpoint.
At BCU that year.
Yeah.
Second road game at VCU on ESPN2. And I just, one of the coaches, one guy fouled out. I forget who it was. But and Kendall had four fouls like he did every game that year. And Eric Fairhill yells down and goes, "Bonson, come up here." And I'm thinking in my head, are they serious? Are they crazy? So I'm actually shaking. This is how me and a booster became really good friends, because the booster just taps me because he's sitting right behind the bench. He's like, "Ooh, if you get in, just run away from that ball." And I'm thinking in my head, absolutely right. I'm going to sprint far away from that ball. And this is when they were having it too.
Yeah.
It was terrifying. It was, but we ended up winning that game. Yeah, we ended up winning. I think I was on an ESPN highlight doing the James Harden cooking thing. Because Scooch went crazy towards the end of that game.
And so we're glad you brought that up, actually, because one of the questions we wanted to ask you is, what would it take for you or Joey or both to check yourself into one of these games coming up?
Don't tempt Joey. I'm so glad. He's been saying that every single day. Because he plays every day.
Yeah.
He goes to the rack still every day. And so he loves playing even more than I love playing. So I'll tell you this. There's a chance that Joey could play. There's a chance that Joey might be playing. Good chance of that, actually.
So if the game ends up tied, let's say you play Ohio State in the finals on Sunday. If that game is tied, I know Mark Titus, Club Trillion himself, the most legendary walk-on in probably modern college basketball.
Yes.
He was trying to get himself into those Ohio State games last year, talked about it all the time on his podcast. If you guys are tied with them in the championship game, I say overtime, we just let him play Joey one-on-one, first to 11, to decide who moves on.
I'll do it. I'll play. Yes, I agree to that, because I don't know who – Joey's hard to beat one-on-one. There are some players that were on scholarship at the University of Dayton who don't want, who I won't even talk about what happened when they played Joey Wong. And you'd be surprised at who it was. The people. He had a list going. He's really good. That's the Jesus Christ.
Jeremiah Bonsu, an in-demand man right here.
They are, I'll tell you this, man. The UNGDA is not a glamorous life. You're on call. You're on call. You guys graduated this year, or did you graduate?
Yeah, this year. Yep. Not as a manager or basketball GA or anything like that. So I mean, we understand that you guys, I mean, you got to do all the behind the scenes work. So it's got to be a tough job, but I mean, you're really important to the program. So you got to respect that.
It's not a job. People do real jobs. We just do basketball related activity that is very inconsequential when you look at things.
Hey, from our end, we don't know who these texts are coming in from, whether it's your bosses now or somebody trying to pull you away. You might be Krzyzewski's head assistant by the time we're done with this pod.
I could be. Man, you know what, man? He would never hire me. I didn't go to Duke. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't go to Duke, so he would never hire me.
That's a good point. You might be Roy Williams' head assistant by the end of this.
Oh, yeah. Go Hogs.
The Atlanta Hawks?
Schools. Hogs, go woo pig suey, man. Oh. Come on.
See, our podcast, we love the Atlanta Hawks because they just keep picking up all the A-10 alums. They had Jordan Seibert for a little bit, just got Charlie Brown.
They had Jalen Adams last year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still on the roster, so is DeAndre Bembry. They had BJ Johnson for a spell. Love the conference.
Jalen Adams is going to play in the NBA, I'll tell you that. Do you guys remember when he came to our place and hit the, like, was shooting from half court?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember. I mean, I've been watching UD basketball pretty much my whole life. I don't think I can remember someone that had better games against Dayton than him. I mean, he was fun to watch, but man, like, he had to settle down.
It was bad because I was a big fan of his.
Yeah.
So he's doing these things to us, and Joey was as well. And, like, I don't know, people, if someone ever really watched Joey and I just on the bench, we would, like, get very excited if a guy was just doing cool stuff. Like, so it didn't matter who you were. And he hit the half-court shot pretty much. And Joey grabs me and goes, oh. And boom, the worst practice we ever had the next day, because I think Arch, like, gave him a compliment in the post game. And Arch doesn't compliment, like, opposing players after they beat us.
Yeah.
And so I knew that, like, we all knew, like, oh, man, he's mad. He's real. Mad. That was a rough practice. Especially because they did all that dancing on our court afterwards. We beat them bad at their place our senior year because of what they did when they all that celebration. That's trash.
So are you guys jealous that the most famous UD bench celebrated Sam Miller in the Davidson game and not you guys? When Zirius hit the three and he started just dancing up and down and they got caught him on national TV? Yeah,
the Kobe, you know, celebration, whatever. I am a little jealous about that. I am. Because that game, too, we had excellent synchronized celebrations. And we were, like, letting everyone in it, too. We had a row the boat with pretty much everyone who wasn't playing because Arch had, at that point, decided I'm going to play five guys. None of you guys are going to support. We had a double clap, cross your legs. Like, we put a lot of hard work into, like, making sure our celebrations were good enough to be seen on TV, but not – over the top, like Monmouth, where people were like, are you guys even on the team? You know, but that Sam stole the thunder, but hey, man.
So I just think back, as you mentioned, Jalen Adams, I remember that specific game. And I especially remember the Bonaventure walk-ons were pretty obnoxious to us in the student section. No comment as to whether or not we started it. But do you ever remember being on the end of the bench, ever really getting into it with an opposing team's fans?
So, St. Louis, they read everyone's tweets out loud the whole game. And it was funny, like, to me, because I was like, this is hilarious. Like, I used to go crazy on Twitter because I love Kobe. So anytime someone got into it about Kobe, I was right there on Twitter just jumping in. And then they started going in on Joey because, like, he had, like, a love. He had a fascination with Russell Wilson that year. So he just kept tweeting about Russell Wilson. They got a couple guys with typos. So they were great. VCU was, yeah, that one was a little, like, bitter. That got a little bitter. And then the worst one, though, was Rhode Island. So Rhode Island has, right next to our bench, this dad and his two sons. Maybe they were 8 and 9 and then 9 and 10 or whatever. They just, you know, they just got getting older. But couldn't be more than 12 years old, either one of them. And they would say the most vulgar things to us. And it got to the point where, like, we just were like, all right, no one say anything to them. Because we want to just kind of walk over and just knock them out. And it was like little kids just cussing at you left and right. Like, what are you doing? Like, you have more money than us. We get it, dude. Like, you're courtside with your family. But then when X hit the game winner, that celebration, my over-the-top celebration, I was doing it to tick them off. Because they left right after that. So they were the worst. I'm not a big fan of their fans. But we were even leaving that game. Like, they had, like, their students were lined up and just kind of being really obnoxious. And was like, dude, you lost. Get over it.
Yeah, so you say they probably got a fair amount of money if they're sitting courtside. I will tell you from experience, that is not a precursor to sitting front row in the A-10. You can sit there at Duquesne for probably $20-25.
Hey, shout out Duquesne. One of my good friends works there now, so I'm not going to talk bad about them. And I'll say this. Nah. Micah Mason was really good when they had him. He was really good.
Yeah, he could shoot. He had some big games against Dayton, I think.
A lot of people had big games against him. It's crazy how it worked. Like, oh, don't get Scooch started on that. Scooch was like, every point guard could come in averaging 5 points per game. The minute they play me, everyone wants to have the best game of their career.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with, though, I mean, like, for a long time before you guys came along, I mean, Dayton, like, we were pretty good every year in the A-10, but never contenders, really. And then all of a sudden, once we started making the tournament, it seemed like teams would be having, like, wide-out games against us where they give everyone matching T-shirts, and suddenly Dayton would be, like, the Super Bowl game for a lot of A-10 teams. And I feel like, especially the 2 years you guys won the regular season, seemed like everybody was showing up to play. Which, I mean, it was fun, though. You want to be the team that everyone wants to beat, I think.
Well, what you guys don't realize is people were really scared to play at Dayton because it was literally 13,000 people. You guys were it was loud in there some games. Like, where we would be on the bench going like, oh, yeah, this is fun. Because it's like we know if it's late in the game, 4 minutes ago, and our fans start cheering crazy and Scooch is like dribbling up, it's like, sit back, guys. Like, this is going to be fun to watch. Sit back and relax. Like, I almost felt like, our home court was crazy, especially the Boise game. They lost because it was at Dayton. That's the only reason they lost. They were better than us that game. The whole game, they were better than us. They lost because it was at Dayton. The refs were scared to make calls, and you literally couldn't hear.
So I guess since we're on the topic of the home fans too, it's got to be exciting. You guys are playing in Columbus, so hopefully there should be a good Flyer turnout there. I mean, obviously, Dayton fans are going to travel wherever it is, but being in Columbus should be a good turnout.
Man, I think it's going to be a great turnout. What I just really hope we have to do our part and get to Sunday. And Ohio State has to do their part and get to Sunday. Because the fire marshal is going to get called during that game. Because Ohio State filled it up for all three of their games last year at Capitol. So just imagine now you bring Dayton fans who are all over Columbus and kind of just sitting there waiting, like, can we poke our head out? Can we talk about how great our basketball program is? So and then also the chance of V. Sanford versus Aaron Kraft one more time, you know? So that'll be great. So if we do our part, our fans will show out. We know they'll do their part. That's easy. It's on us now.
So you actually led into the question that I wanted to close this whole thing with, but I guess we'll bump it up here. If you guys get a shot against Ohio State, do you expect to see anyone in the stands with posters of the V. Sanford newspaper cover?
Yes, and I also expect to see the Aaron Kraft laying down. And I also expect Ohio State to talk about how they have football and they're still better and as they should. You know, my sister's on the board of trustees there. And so I'm half Ohio State fan. And let's not let Dayton people fool you. When we beat Ohio State, we were going to get it battled. When we beat Ohio State on campus, it wasn't crazy. People didn't go crazy. Half the campus was hurt. I remember watching that game in Marycrest, and people weren't cheering when we won. So I know people are going to have torn feelings a little bit, kind of like that game, because they're like, oh, I kind of want Ian Kraft, you know, to get his reward. At the same time, it's like, no, go Flyers. It's going to be I'm so excited for that weekend.
Yeah, well, everyone who goes to Dayton is apparently also an Ohio State football fan. Yeah. And so we're going to need a friend of the podcast, David Jablonski, to some sense into everybody because he loves Ohio State football as much as anyone. But we know he's going to be on the side of the Flyers.
He was my Instagram guy for 3 years. So I love him. Arch maybe didn't know. But during blowouts, like, the whole bench would just be, like, calling over to him. Jablonski, get a pick, get a pick. People will all have our hoods up at St. Louis. I think we were up, like, 45 in that game at some point. Literally, all the seniors, like, just yelled over him, like, Jablonski, pick, pick, pick. And you know, he's great. He actually really knows us, too. I'm sure he keeps some things to himself. He knows us. He knows us. Great guy.
Yeah, he's probably our best podcast guest to this point, although you're giving him a pretty good run for his money right now. So,
I love talking. I was a tour guide. Did you have your tours? No, not you too. I love that when people tell me, oh, you gave me my tour. And I'm like, yes. Where's my cut? Like, that tuition is high. I need my cut.
Yeah. I remember I had the same tour guide twice, and it was a lady, so I'm assuming it wasn't you.
No, it definitely wasn't.
So I guess, well, we definitely want to see you guys play Ohio State. I mean, that would be the dream scenario. I was just wondering, do you know anything about your first-round team? They're called the Region, based out of Indiana. I guess it's a lot of guys from the Indiana area. They come from a bunch of different colleges. I was just wondering, like, do you have any sort of scouting report on them, or like, do you expect anything from them in the first round?
Well, actually, tomorrow I'm doing a deep dive into that. But a couple of those guys are guys I've played against overseas and have some knowledge of them. So, but really, our kind of mentality throughout this is we're going to have to worry about ourselves. You can't foul, you know, like all Dayton teams, you can't really foul, but yeah. You got to. Defense. And then the biggest thing is running back in transition. If you watch these games, a lot of times they can turn to just pick up because they haven't played each other. So it gets a little wild and it comes down to who's going to run to get easy buckets in transition and who's going to run back to not allow easy buckets. And that's really where it's going to come from that first game because you don't know how guys are playing coming in. Obviously, I don't want to look ahead, but like, I think the best team in the region. I mean, in our regional, is Wisconsin State. And I don't think it's relatively close. If you just look on paper, but luckily, games aren't played on paper. You know, everyone has a chance. But it's going to be tough. I think that whole region is tough, man.
Yeah, and the lights are going to shine bright if you guys get Wisconsin in the second round.
Yeah.
They really bumped up the TV coverage for Saturday and Sunday. If you guys can make it into those last two games, right on ESPN, main what? ESPN, not even ESPN2 or ESPNU.
You know what? That right there, I guarantee you Kendall Pollard will play even better. No one likes being on ESPN more than Kendall. I didn't know that, but it's true. Like, Dayton versus Wisconsin, Wisconsin versus Ohio State, Dayton versus Ohio State. You know, that's big time.
Yeah, so – and then looking at the team itself, it seems pretty apparent that the weaknesses are the same ones that most Dayton Flyer teams have. You guys are shorthanded just in total number of guys. You got two really good big men in Josh Cunningham and Kendall Pollard, but then just not a ton of size behind them. What would you say is the team's best strength, though?
We, at some point, we're going to have five guys out there that can all dribble, shoot, and pass. And that's unique because originally when we were kind of like Joey and I were going back and forth, you're like, yo, we're going to have to play Greg Oden and Jarrett Sullinger. And everyone kept telling us, you need to get a bigger guy, you need to be a bigger guy. And I kept thinking, I was like, but that doesn't work because, be honest, you're not going to find a bigger guy than Greg Oden. And you're not going to find a more skilled big guy in TBT than Jarrett Sullinger. So why would we try to play their way? Why don't we try to play our way, which is we're going to push it and we're going to force whoever's bigger than us to run with our guys. Because if Kendall Pollard was our guy, you saw what happened all A-10. A-10 teams were just like, what are we going to do with him? Because he's strong. He's just as strong, if not stronger, but he's faster than our guys. And especially in the pick and roll coverages, Kendall can switch. He can jump. He was fantastic in pick and roll defense. So I think our strength is the fact that we're going to have five guys out there who can do multiple things and are still going to be able to defend. Kyle Davis, if Kyle Davis ends up on your five man, I don't think everyone's going to be going, oh, yeah, that's a win for us having Kyle Davis on their five. It's going to be like, do you know who that is? That's Kyle Davis. Like, check his tape.
So what are the chances that you end up on the phone with Archie to help you out with the scouting report? Because he's got a lot of experience with everyone on your roster.
I don't know. I might call him. I haven't talked to him in a little bit, so I might call him. He'd be helpful. Actually, last time I saw him, he was like, oh, what are you looking for? You know, he gets the worst rap in the world. The absolute worst one. Just because he's very intense and he's not gonna talk on the podcast. Let's just say give me the one word answers or whatever. But he's very like cares for his guy. If you do what you need to do for him, you got him for life. So I should give him a call. You're right. I should do that soon. Thanks for reminding me.
So speaking of coaching, you guys got a UD alum, Damon Goodwin, to coach your TBT team. How did that process go getting him on board? I mean, I guess it fits right in just that all the players are UD alums getting a coach that also played here. How did that go for you guys getting him?
So we were looking for coaches, and our whole thing when we started was, and this is still our main goal. Even if we lose that first game, we want to be a Dayton thing. So we didn't want to get someone outside of the coach. And I actually had a relationship with Coach Goodwin because I was originally going to be a GA for him out of college. And so I just kind of called him. I told him what's up. I told him the roster situation. And he was like, okay, give me a day to think about it. And he called me the next day. He was like, yeah, he's in. And that to me is a big advantage because, again, when I've watched a tournament every single year. The one thing that separates a lot of these teams is not – because coaching, you don't know the guys. So you can't really, like, coach them up during the game. You're not really going to call a whole lot of plays. But what you are going to do is out of timeouts and all dead balls, you're going to drop a play. And we have a 30-year coaching veteran drawing up our plays. So I think that's an advantage he gives us. And that's why me and Joey are assistant coaches, because we're going to really be the ones telling him, hey, get Kendall out, put Daryl in. Hey, we need to try to get V a shot right now. Deshaun, you know, all that stuff. So, but then when the timeout comes, we're going to let him do his thing, and we think that's going to be a big-time advantage for us.
Who's
the face team? Oh, I think it's Scooney Penn. Okay, they got a real coach doing the team. Dang.
Yeah, so I guess really our last big question for you, what are your expectations for this team?
That's a great question. So are you asking Jeremiah, the guy who would literally – think he's the best shooter on the team with scholarship guys, or he's going like the pragmatic basketball person who can look things to without bias?
I guess both, because if really optimistic Jeremiah doesn't think that you guys can win the Columbus Regional or win it all, then that's probably a bad sign for us.
No, I think so. I think that we can win our regional. I think I know Ohio State will be the most hyped game, the most excited game. But I actually think that plays into our favor because, again, the pressure's on them. The Wisconsin game is what I keep looking at and going, if we beat the region, Wisconsin's going to be so tough to beat because they have size. They can also put a lineup out there where they match our versatility. So I think we can win our regional. What I think needs to happen, we can't turn the ball over, we cannot foul, and we have to run back in transition. If those three things happen, we will be able to, we will win three games, win our regional, and then after that, it's one game. Well, all this is one game, but it's even more like pressure. And Kendall, Kevin Dillard, and Kyle Davis playing in Chicago, don't let that happen. If we get to Chicago, we're winning. If those three guys will play fantastic in Chicago. So that's my answer to that, yeah.
Well, we know you're a little bit biased, but when you're talking to a biased person, you want to hear that great level of optimism. That gives me confidence that you guys can get past Ohio State and obviously Wisconsin.
One of the big reasons, too, why I think we have a great chance is Devin Oliver and B. Sanford and Deshaun have gotten so much better since they played at Dayton. One thing with Deshaun was Deshaun got hurt his sophomore year, going into his junior year, and so he didn't really work out, and he kind of – that's when he became a power forward, was in between them because he couldn't really – all he could do was really put on muscle. He couldn't, like, get muscle off, and so he lost some of the athleticism. Since playing, he's been healthy, and I don't know if people kept up with Deshaun, but his team won the Euro Cup. They lost in the championship series in his league in France. So, like, Deshaun, he was just fantastic. He's in Dallas right now for summer league practices. He'll be with them in Vegas. I'm excited for him, man. He could be – watch out for him possibly getting into the NBA here soon. The guy can really play. Devin's won MVPs and championships overseas. And V, you know, you look at a guy who has built himself up to the top league in France. You know, he's ridiculous as well.
Yeah, and a lot of guys on that roster who were really beloved Flyers in their time too. Mm-hmm. So win or lose, these are guys that I think we all really miss watching.
I hope that I know people are going to love – I think Kyle probably is the one that everyone's like, yes, we get to watch Kyle play defense again. It's fun watching him do his crazy Kyle stuff, especially like when he loses the game twice for you but then wins it the third time.
So I guess we'll wrap it up with this. Any last thing that you want to say to any UD fan who might be on the fence as to whether or not to make the drive up to Columbus for these games?
I'll say this. If you're on the fence, you're not really that diehard of a fan. Because, you know, an opportunity to get to watch Kyle, Kendall, Deshaun, you know, Devin, even if it's for one game, if it's for two, if it's for three, like, you wouldn't want to miss any of those opportunities because I don't think a lot of you guys are getting the EuroLeague subscription and watching them overseas. So don't miss the opportunity. And also, to Dayton people, it's going to be a party regardless. So you're just going to end up being around a ton of Dayton alumni, and that's always fun. Good weekend getaway. I'm excited for our guys. I'm excited for our school. You know, no matter where I'm at, I always rep Dayton. I always talk about how much I love my town and have all this involvement. It's been just fantastic. Connected with a lot of people through this process as well.
Yeah, and University of Dayton to Capital University, 1 hour, 17 minutes with no traffic.
Oh, the problem is there's going to be tons of traffic. There's going to be tons of Dayton people coming down.
Well, we know Dayton people. They'll be there plenty early and let the traffic come in and wave.
They'll be nice and lubricated before they show up.
All right, well, with that, we want to give a big thank you to Jeremiah Bonsu and remind everybody to make sure you're out at Capital University in Columbus for Friday, July 19th through the 21st to come support the Red Scare team. Yes. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you guys for having me, for real. Man. I appreciate it. It's a fun time. I love talking Dayton.
Yeah, go Flyers.
Go Flyers.
Once again, a big thank you to Jeremiah Bonsu, who gave us some terrific insights into what Dayton has to look forward to in the Columbus TBT. That starts on Friday, July 19th. Don't be faked out by their website, which thinks that it's on the 21st, which is not actually a Friday. It is a Sunday. Hopefully Dayton will be playing on the 21st, but if you get faked out when you go on the TBT site, it is on Friday the 19th. And I'm sure hopefully everyone will be rooting for the Flyers. I know we'll be rooting for the other A-10 teams over down in Virginia this time. A-10 pride over everything this time of year. No rivalries to worry about. And we especially just want to thank Jeremiah for some of the great stories he gave us. Hopefully, he'll have plenty more to tell us in the future. I think he was a great podcast guest, and I think you would agree.
Yeah, it was, again, just such a fun interview. And because just some of the talking points he brought up, this inspired my stat of the day that I wanted to do right here at the end of the podcast. Near the end, we talked about how Kendall Pollard was one of those guys that performed best in the big moments, especially on nationally televised games. So I just went back during his senior season. He got to play in 5 games that were on ESPN that year, averaged 16 points a game, which was better than his total season average of 14. So that's good news for Dayton if they do make it farther than the first round, because as we mentioned, those games will be on regular ESPN. And it's unfortunate because Kendall actually got hurt to begin that season, so he missed 4 games that were on ESPN. He didn't play in any of those. So too bad he might have missed out on having an even better senior season. But I think it's a good sign for him in the TBT, and that's just a good opportunity for him to play in front of a big audience.
Yeah, speaking of nationally televised games, that takes me to my stat of the day, another fellow Dayton alum who was on that team that beat Ohio State in the tournament years ago, Jordan Seibert, currently in the summer league with the Atlanta Hawks, had a terrific 22-point performance to open up play in Vegas on Saturday night. And my stat for him is 15 out of 15. That's what he is at the foul line as of this recording, which is Sunday night. So 2 games, 15 foul shots, hit all 15. Pretty impressive for a Hawks team that shot only 62% as a unit in their second game.
Yeah, a lot of A-10 guys have been getting some action here in the summer league. Hopefully some of them can make some NBA teams. Maybe we'll try to keep you posted on that throughout the summer. But especially the Atlanta Hawks, we have to shout them out just because they've done such a great job of representing the A-10. As we mentioned in our interview with Jeremiah also, they've just had a lot of A-10 players. They've given them a lot of two-way contracts over the last year or two. So, good for the Hawks. I guess, at this point, have we named them the official team of the 3-Bid League podcast? Because they're the only NBA team we follow on Twitter. I can at least say that. And
yeah, they definitely are. And for their game on Sunday, Seibert and St. Bonaventure's Jalen Adams teamed up as their starting backcourt.
Yeah, so I mean, the Hawks, I guess I don't follow the NBA super close. I guess they haven't been that great the past couple years, but it's just good to see these A-10 guys get some chances in the NBA. Hopefully a few of them make it onto the Hawks roster or another team. But yeah, good to see Jordan Seibert. I know he started out in the G League for a little bit after his career at Dayton, then went to Europe for a couple years. So good to see him back. Hope he can make it soon.
So with that, stick around our little bit of a summer lull that we started off with here through June. That is over. We're going to have plenty of pods coming to you in the next few weeks. Our Richmond regional preview coming later this week. We got some good guests lined up for that. And then we will be out in Columbus. We'll do some pods ourselves, maybe some potential guests coming on during that. We'll be coming to you during the Richmond regional. And hopefully at least one of these teams to Chicago, and we have a reason to do a podcast during championship weekend. But we are back in full force. And we just want to thank everybody again for listening to the 3-Bid League podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at the number 3-Bid League Pod. Leave us a rating on iTunes. And big thank you to everyone who has so far. We've been getting plenty of 5-star ratings. We've gotten some great comments. So just thank you if you're the person who happened to leave those for us. And just tell a friend, tell an A-10 fan in your life to listen to us. We really appreciate every listener we have.
St. Joseph's season comes down to this. Miles, that's a 3. Scores of LaSalle have defeated sweet.